Oh, I'm sorry. I have to shake hands, sir.
You don't have to, but...
How many hands do you shake during a day?
Oh, quite a few. Quite a few, it seems like, anymore. I'm still an old handshaker, though, when I see somebody, so...
Were you always like that, or did that start?
Yeah, well, so Tom Haywood Sr., who owned Brandaw's, was, of course, a yes sir, no sir, yes ma'am, no ma'am type of guy. And so he kind of, you know, taught you that. My dad owned the barbershop, and he was always very businesslike, too. But then going through it, my grandfather had owned Day's Hardware in downtown Elyria, and he was president of Chamber of Commerce. So, you know, it came down from a long stretch of, and then going to work for Tom Sr. was definitely, even my, you know, my grandparents said, because I was 15 and a half, and they said, oh my gosh, you kind of reinstilled that yes sir, no sir type mentality as far as that goes. So
you're from a long line of business people in your family.
In a sense, yeah. Grandpa owned Day's Hardware, which was downtown Elyria into the probably when the mall came, late 60s, early 70s. My dad bought the Greystone Barbershop, came up from Lodi in 61, I think, opened or bought the shop in 63, which was in the Greystone Hotel. And then Glover tore down the Greystone Hotel in 74. The barbershop moved to the top of the Washington Avenue Hill. And so Dad ran the barbershop. He barbered for 52 years in Elyria. So I started Brandaw's when I was 15.
So those other industries didn't interest you then?
Barbering, no. I trimmed the dog once. That didn't go well. And Grandpa, the hardware store was, you know, they were all lost to malls and all that. So Tom Haywood Sr., who owned Brandaw's, was getting his haircut one day and asked how old I was. And Dad said 15 and a half or whatever. He called me and said, do you want a job? And I got down there and he put a broom in my hand and I swept the floor.
Literally starting to sweep.
Oh, my God.
In that.
Swept the sidewalk, swept the alley, cleaned the basement for years, and then so I just got, there's the 70 ad of Brandaw's there on the wall, there's a 1951 ad of Hazard's, and I just got a 1937 on this wall over here.
What did you bring from Brandaw's when you opened up your own?
Well, Brandaw's was still in business.
But what was it, the mentality or the work, the way you were doing things, or what you thought about?
Yeah, the Haywood family, such a good family as far as that goes, just ethics-wise, and Tom Haywood Sr., Jr. himself, and his wife, and Tim Haywood. So it was time that Tim and I, in 2002, decided to branch out and do our own business. And so we left, and Tim ran the shop in back, which my son Bob now, of course, is running the shop. And Tim and I decided to go into business, and we did it downtown, not in competition with Brandaw's at all, but just serving our own customer base.
Did you always think Vandermark, or like what, you know, when you come up with a business, you're thinking, what do I want to call it?
Yeah.
Or do you just go with the name? Because a lot of these are names.
It's interesting, family names, because Hazard's was renamed to Brandaw's when Eleanor and Frank Brandaw took it over. And then when the Haywoods bought the business in 1981 from Eleanor Brandaw Miller, they decided not to rename it because it was just too established at the time. So when we got ready to open, we punched a lot of names through the old thing, and we finally came back, and Tim Haywood said, I'll retire long before you. Let's just name it Vandermark's. You're the one out on the front floor, and you'll be ready to go. And it is interesting how history then just fades into it, because kids will come in today, I'm selling engage rings to, and I'll mention something about Brandaw's, and they just look at me with a little, you know, like, what? And of course, it was such a 22 years of my history and a good store, but it certainly now, well, this is our 20th anniversary this year.
But when you put your name on it, there's an added responsibility, I guess, to it too, right?
Oh, there's no doubt to me, and you know that. I'm very customer service oriented. I'm out here all the time talking to customers, which become friends in the community. And so you're right. That's a big important thing to our family, is that if we put our name on it, we're going to be there, stand behind it, take care of business, and do things the right way for the little niche that we service. And I think it's worked well. People seem to like us and take good care of us as far as that, and we turn around, take good care of the community for their jewelry needs.
So where's your favorite case in the store?
My favorite case. Walk through over here, and this is the estate case. And so the estate is all kinds of history. And so that's this case right here. And, you know, a lot of times when I show up down to the radio station, I'll have a piece of estate with me that tells all kinds of different stuff. So that piece right there, which is just absolutely gorgeous, has 350 diamonds. 6.5 carats total weight. It's an 18 carat white gold and was made by an Indian doctor for his wife.
This is a necklace or
a necklace or pendant. Correct.
Okay.
Yep. And it's so fancy. It's going to be harder to find an owner today for that.
You have to have a strong neck to hold that up.
To hold that up. Exactly.
I was looking, you've mentioned the state. I was checking your Facebook page and there was this ring that you had displayed up there, and it's gold and had sort of the different, and I looked at it and thought, I like that one. That looks really nice, similar to what my wife had. And then I realized, oh, it's from the estate estate case.
From the estate.
It kind of ages you of where you what you like based
right,
on where
we
they
look
are.
At our history right. and what we're coming across as far as the history of it. And so then that ring right there, right here, that ring is 1920s. So that is a full-out Victorian filigree ring with an original mine-cut diamond in it, cut over 100 years ago. And though that ring is 1920s.
How do you know the age of a ring that someone brings
much
in?
Much like architecture. So when you would have a builder look at a house and they could tell you this house was built during this time period because they look at the amount of woodwork and trim and how it's carved and what type of wood or what the building style is, jewelry has a little bit of its own history. So this was set flush and they did a lot of filigree, which is a hand carving work on the side of the mounting. It was all done by hand and that was how they made the ring pretty back then. And then back in the 1940s and 50s where my shadow is on that ring started to come up a little bit. So they started to set the diamond out a little bit higher. And then today, like your wife's ring, it was up in prongs. So it was sitting very much in more of a Tiffany solitaire. And we've been somewhat up in prongs for the last X number of years, 50 years. And now we have some halo. So you look at like that, those there, they have a circle or a square of diamonds around them that's called a halo. And so that's another style period of that we're going through. And so you'll be able to look back now in 20 years, 30 years from now, and you'll see that halo and you'll, oh gosh, that was popular during 2010, 2020 and things of that nature.
Right. What are people coming in during the summertime to take a look at?
All kinds of different stuff. This new band look, you remember when I come in and I bring bands to you, as far as low-profile wedding bands. And so this whole band and anniversary band look, some of the ones that I'll bring in are absolutely gorgeous. And I mean, look at some of the styles and the brilliance and the look that you get into there. And we're starting to see yellow gold come back, which is kind of cool. That's a tri-gold piece, so it's got rose, yellow, and white gold in it as far as the diamonds go. So there's just some really cool low-profile bands, and that's a hot category right now.
You know, when you're displaying this, it's all on sort of a white or a different colors like that, but not until you put it against your skin do you really get a sense of what it looks
the
like.
The fashion
what,
of it. Yeah, exactly. And that's why we always talk about our business. It's like a candy store without any pounds when you come in. But you do have to get a feel for it, and to me, it's one of those things, yes, you could buy it offline, but you have no idea until you slip that, as you just said, and slip that on your hand and realize whether that looks good on you.